Well, I'm going to express to you that I'm really not much looked forward to this day. But it needs to be. To everything, there is a time and a season for every purpose under heaven. Amen. That's the truth. And this week there's been some buzz on a big scale. Have you heard it? It was global in regards to the expression that was made. The Academy Awards, the Oscars, the 94th ceremony of the, let's see, the Academy of Motion Picture Art and Science. That's the proper name for it. And this global scale, Will Smith smacks Chris Rock. Everybody hates Chris, right? That's the show that he... Hey, you know, these guys are showmen. Interesting. But Will Smith smacks Chris Rock across the face, and it's buzzed all over. I usually don't pay much attention, and on the 94th celebration of the Academy of Motion Picture Art and Science, it really wasn't much different until this happened, and then Facebook and let's see, New York Times, the Washington Post, everybody was carrying this with a buzz. And the fallout of this thing, the relationship between Will Smith now and Chris Rock, what is that? Still being talked about. And on a broader scale, a corporate scale, there is the whole Academy. He resigned, but are they going to ban him? And that question kind of goes on. Like I said, I don't much pay attention to this, but it was hard not to with the buzz that was going on. So this morning, I want to use this offense and damaged relationships that followed all of that and is still a buzz. I want to use that as a springboard to create a buzz, a discussion, a conversation, if you would, about how offense, damaged relationships, in person-to-person, personal ways, and on a corporate scale, a grand scale, have all been resolved by God, because that is what the Lord's table celebrates to us. I want you to see this as the Apostle Paul talks about it, by going with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. As you're turning there, let me tell you a little bit about our plan this morning. Our plan this morning is to take some time to discuss. There's a couple questions that we're going to bring up around the Lord's table. And then Dr. Stewart is going to be sharing some thoughts that he has on the subject the Lord's table brings to us and the future. And then we're going to express a lot of heart thanks, appreciation. And then we're going to close this. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 is where I'm having you look. Our observance of the Lord's table this morning, well, to tell us what this is, it's probably best to let God do it through the Apostle Paul. What is the Lord's table? The Apostle Paul tells us in a way that is very, very fitted to this week's buzz, damaged relationships, corporate impact, global touch, concerning a relationship that matters forever. A relationship with God. The Lord's table, the way the Apostle Paul talks to us, gives us insight on this. Let's hear what he tells us the Lord's table is. If you're with me in 1 Corinthians 10, slide to verse number 16, where the apostle says this, the cup of blessing, and what he's talking about, the cup that we have an appreciation for, that we express appreciation to God for and admiration for, the cup of blessing, this one that causes us to praise, that we bless, he says, is it not a participation, a fellowship, a community, an association in the blood of Christ? The blood of Christ. Without the shedding of blood, the apostles tell us there is no remission of sin, as was built from the Old Testament. Christ said in the night he was betrayed, this cup is the new covenant, is the new agreement concerning the relationship. It is the new covenant in my blood. It is shed for you, for many, that sin may be forgiven. Do this to remember me. This cup of blessing that has that admiration and that praise that we carry, is it not a fellowship, an association, a community in the blood of Christ, which cleanses us from all sin? Is it not that? Is it not that? Isn't it not about this relationship that we share? Is it not that? That's what he asks. Going on, he says this, the bread, verse 16, that we break, is it not a fellowship, an association, a community in the body of Christ? It was on his body that he bore our sin on that tree, Peter tells us. That we, in that, being dead to sin, should live to God's call for what's right. By his wounds, we are healed. There is offense. There is damage, personal relationship for everybody individually and corporately for all of mankind, for through one man sin entered into the world and death through sin and death spread to everybody because all have sinned. Is not this Lord's table a community, an association, a participation and a fellowship in the body of Christ? Is it not that? His answer is this. Quite, yes, true. Because, verse 17, there is one bread. We who are many are one body. For we all partake. We all have our participation, our being involved of the one bread. Now, you see, we as people have this, well, let's see, what shall we say? Bend, propensity in our hearts to put other things in the place of God. Can be a variety of things. Sometimes there's a relationship that we prize. Sometimes there's a position that we hold. Sometimes there is a desire that we have. Sometimes it's just a material thing. Sometimes it's a mental thing. All of these, the Bible calls idols. There are idols of the heart, Ezekiel 14. There are idols of desire, Colossians. The Apostle Paul, when he's talking to us about the Lord's table, well, he talks about these idols. Look at what he says in verse 14. Therefore, my beloved brethren, flee from idolatry. Flee from this that you're putting in front of, in the place of God. I speak to you as sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing that we bless, that we appreciate, what God has done, that we celebrate, that we praise God for. Is it not a fellowship in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a fellowship in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, and we all partake of this one thing. We're going to use this passage as a springboard to talk about community. And we're going to be talking about moving through change. Because this is a big change. And we're going to be talking about this moving into a change of a broader community, a broader participation and fellowship, a broader one where there'll be many, many, many different perspectives than what we've had. And what shall we react to? How shall we react to this? We're going to be talking about through change into a broader community. I hope that's the way you're thinking. That's the aim for this morning's celebration, because this celebration is a fellowship. It's a community. In the forgiving blood of Christ, in the body of Christ that was broken and now is a group of people in community. It's about Christ's body. That's what we're going to talk about. That's what we're going to use. And we're going to do it this way. Let me get rid of the showman here and bring this up. I want to bring up these two questions that we are going to talk about. Now, this is all planned around you participating, because this is a fellowship, okay? And we need to participate in. And this is the first question. What has the community of believers brought into your life? What has this community of believers over 18 years? What has been the impact of community of believers for you during your entire journey through life? Journey of coming to Christ. What has that been? What has been a joy, a benefit that you have derived? And this is for you to be thinking about. What has it been for you? And then we've got a second question, which I'm just going to flash up here for a moment, because I don't want you to get sidetracked from the first question. So here it is. So did you get that? The second question is, what do you see, what would you like to see moved towards as we go through change? As we go forward in the body of Christ, what would you like to see moved towards? So, first question. What has been a joy? What has been a benefit? A challenge. Can be, there it is. Mike's coming around. Good job, guys. Appreciate you being on the.
Sharpening iron. There has been great joy and benefit from not just the accountability, but the support, the huge support system.
Amen.
In hard times that y'all have been for us.
Amen.
And when we needed it, you loved us enough to correct us. That has been the joy.
Amen. That doesn't always happen. Over here, we got one.
There's a ton of things that I could say. I'll say that I was gone for a minute from Heartland, and coming back, it made it very easy to notice that something may be a little bit different. And it was very encouraging to see the people that trained me when I spent the time in me first before I left. See how much you love for Jesus in that time. And it was very encouraging that you were still here. I appreciate that.
Amen. Very good. The D-bands have been a tremendous source of encouragement to me. The way that the groups, Bob's group, Josh's group, Nate's group, I'm sure I'm missing some groups, Doc and Lindy, pardon me, Linda and Doug, they're the interaction. You know, we saw people say, my son-in-law was saved through one of those. And he walked around thinking that he was a Christian, yet not knowing what the new birth really was, and played a game. Josh and I were having a great time of fellowship recently, and he talked about that event and him coming to know Christ. It's been a great encouragement to see ministry picked up then, and people who've carried the ministry into new locations. The ministry of touching people's lives to build up the body till we all get to Christ's likeness. By the way, who's gotten there? So I guess we've still got some things to do. Amen. Someone else. Dorothy, here.
First of all, for me personally,
he's coming with the mic here for you, Dorothy. Thank you.
For me personally, I was accepted lovingly, no matter, didn't matter who I was or what I did, but I was accepted, and that meant a whole lot to me, because I know what I did, and I know who I am. And then, on a bigger scale, I will be eternally grateful for you and the other people in the church here. You didn't give up on me or my family, and they are a work in progress, and it's already, I mean, you didn't give up. And because of that, Lyle finally came to saving grace.
He's no longer a work in process. He's finished.
No, he's there. He is. Yeah, he's there. Not me. But that.
Amen. Very good. All righty. Thank you. There's one in the back there.
So for me, growing up in the church, I've seen my dad pastor quite a bit. But the biggest thing that stands out is the life dedication to Christ. So much self-sacrifice in Heartland and time, money, spiritual gifts that people have just dedicated over the past 18 years here, so much of their life for this body, for the unbelievers, for Hartford City itself. And it is a testimony to me on how I want to live and how I want to raise my children to serve Christ with everything I have. And that's been the biggest impact, is even when times don't appear the best, the fellowship is dwindling, but the hope, the excitement, the encouragement of sharing the gospel, I mean, we all know Brad, and to see Brad here today, it makes my heart sing. And that's what it's about. If only one person in the past 18 years came to Christ, it's worth it.
Amen.
And that's the biggest testimony of Heartland to my heart, is the love of Christ, the fellowship of the believers to further the kingdom of heaven.
Amen. I had somebody who was interacting with me the other day, and they have gone on to serve in another church. We were talking about their choice in doing that, and they said, you know, I look at Heartland like a boot camp. Trained you to minister and to serve, but a boot camp. I carried that around for a while, okay? Boot camp. And then I thought, our mission is to make disciples. And that means growing and changing into Christ's likeness. So I guess I'll take that. It's been a fun boot camp. Somebody else who has something to share. Okay, right here. These two guys know each other pretty well. Hey, you guys kind of look alike.
We have a lot to be thankful for. And as Dorothy shared, my dad came to Christ because of the ministry of Heartland. And he'd been resisting God for many years. And he came to the knowledge of the truth because the Lord's bondservant was not quarrelsome. He was able to teach and patient when wrong, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition. And one thing I've learned from being here is to love the Word of God. And when it's hidden in your heart, the Spirit can pull it out at the right moment to share and encourage people where you don't expect somebody would need encouragement. You suddenly, God puts them in your path, and it can be at a factory. It can be a coworker you didn't even know had any concerns, and then all of a sudden they're bearing their heart, and you can share a scripture with that person that fits the circumstances. And so the one thing I will be grateful for is I traveled around with you early on. You went to visit some folks after church on a Sunday, and you were just wielding that sword of the Spirit in correction and encouragement to these people. And I was just amazed by that. I thought, wow, you can use the Bible that way. It was so neat. It's not really just a textbook. It's not a chore to read God's Word. It's actually useful, and it's profitable. I think I read that somewhere. And
it's like, amen.
You can apply it so many places, and to see it bear fruit. And that's one thing I've taken away from Heartland's influence in my life, is that I've grown to love the Word of God. I've grown to appreciate it. I've grown to use it and rely on it. And it just, especially in times like right now, so many people are on cruise control, and they don't realize that the ship is already hit the iceberg and it's going to sink very quickly. And if we don't have the Word in our hearts, we're not going to be able to minister to people as they're in the icy water.
Amen. So, amen. Whew, that's an encouragement. Very good. Very good. Well, I'm going to move on to the next question in a vision for the future here, unless someone else has a thing that is burning in your heart to share. Okay. So what would you like to see move towards as we go forward in Christ's body? Because it is a going forward. It is a movement forward. Apostle Paul says, the things that have happened unto me have really turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. So that what I'm going through, these bonds are in Christ. What do you see? What's hoped for or prayed for as you look forward? Pardon me? Okay. Serve opportunities. What Skip shared there about using the word in new areas for all of us, that's what I pray for. That's what I hope for. I also want to see, hope for, a continuation of mutually encouraging one another in a broader community where there's going to be some differences, where there's going to be some real needs, where there will be some times that, wow, I really needed this body in that way to help me on something I've been very short-sighted on. And there have been. As I shared with you the last 2 weeks, there have been some helpful things that I've been short-sighted on. Anyone else? What you would like to see? Yep, that's the question. Amen. You should. Did everyone hear that? I'm just the one that's hard of hearing. Fostering of spiritual gifts, advancing community. Matt, there you go. Somebody who conforms to the microphone idea. Thank you.
So I was hearing the story of our friend Josh Jones the other day, and he was laying out the process in which they were finding places to do services. And so they went for the first place that they landed at. They started off at their house, kind of like you guys did. And they followed an eerie path along the same trail as Heartland, in a way. They ended up at the senior center, and then before that, they asked if they could use the Heartland building. And he talked about how you guys were willing to give them the Heartland building for free to use on a weekly basis, Sunday evenings. And I was just thinking about how that's how we ended up meeting them, because they started coming to Heartland. And as opportunity arose and we started going there in Sunday evenings, I was able to start leading a men's group that was community focused. It was multi-church. I mean, there was people. I mean, Doc's been coming for months and months now, but it's also been other churches that have been involved. And it's just been really encouraging to see an opportunity within the community that we didn't meet them without Heartland's generosity to them in the first place. I mean, we might have met them later on, like it might have happened, but it was really a blessing to see a generous gift that Heartland gave to them to start using their building when they needed it, and was really a blessing from the Lord because they didn't have anywhere else to go. And an an opportunity for them to grow. Like, they grew out of Heartland. Heartland had a week or something, which pushed them out. But they ended up going to the senior center, and they've grown since. But it was just a blessing to see other churches blessing each other, and then opportunities arise from that. Amen. But that community focus, which is what Nate was talking about, I think fits right into that concept. And it's keeping open. Like, there wasn't enough men outside of D-Bands here for me to start something, but I saw an opportunity there with people that couldn't be at church on Sundays, and giving them an opportunity to do a men's group on a Thursday night. And so that's really where that all stemmed from. So, but it's cool to see the trail of churches blessing other churches, ultimately a blessing from the Lord.
Amen. It is a body that is his body. It is a body. It's his body. It's not ours. Matter of fact, what we put in the place sometimes can be an idol for what his body is and what he's doing. So we participate. Broadening fellowship, using the word, using the word by the Spirit to accomplish God's work.
No story today. Haven't got time. One body, unity in Christ. The verses we've already read, 1 Corinthians 10:16 through 17. We've just taken the cup and the bread, communion. The Greek word koinonia. You know that word. I think Doug told me about koinonia first. Fellowship. Common unity around the Lord's table. This is a sacrament, sacred, his body, his blood. 1 Corinthians 11:26, as Tom already quoted, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. How can we be unified through the Lord's death? Death is so final, for us it ends relationship. But does it? We know the rest of the story, don't we? He was and is God. His death unites us. First with him, before we were believers, we were lost in our sins. We were dead to God and our own transgressions. We were enemies of the King. We came to understand by the Spirit of God that we were sinners separated from God. Our sins would condemn us to hell forever, to suffer alone for eternity because of our rebellion. There's no unity there. Each of us would suffer alone, apart from God, if we chose our way, not his. But so thankful for the but in the Bible. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. He took away the hatred in our hearts for God. He took away the stony, cold heart, the dark heart, and he put in a new heart, a heart of flesh, a heart that beats for him, a heart that loves him. He placed his Spirit within us, and he causes us to walk in his statutes, Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27. It's not that we don't choose badly, because we do. On a daily basis. Jesus is our head. What does that mean, that Jesus is our head? Okay. Our leader, our authority, our boss. What about our faith? Hebrews tells us that start to finish, that he gives us faith. We exercise it, but from start to finish, he's our head. We are his body, united with him, unified with each other. So we see that in the bread. And we who are many are one body, one body, many members. We as Heartland have a variety of members, those who are the big toe and the index finger and the eye of the body. Many but one, Bob and Sandy and Matt and Nate and Doug and Linda and Pastor Tom and Alita, Dorothy, Lori, many others. Many with various personalities and gifts, but they're one. One body under one head with one message, the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. We've had the privilege to preach the gospel. We try to do that every time that we speak. We try to preach the gospel. It's the message that unites us. Heartland is a part of the universal body of Christ, which is made of all believers, every local body in Hartford City and in Blackford County and throughout Indiana, the United States, and North America, and the Western Hemisphere. Churches all over the globe in every remote and prominent corner of the earth. All believers who have trusted Christ, and they submit their hearts to obey Him. We can come together as one because of one blood sacrifice. The blood that we've remembered. And we said this blood is a blessing to us, verse 16. The cup of blessing. And how are we blessed? By His blood. How are we blessed by His blood? We have forgiveness of sins first and foremost, right? It starts that relationship with God. Okay, He took our punishment. Anything else? Happiness, joy in knowing God, right? We're back where we need to be. His blood atones for our sins. He's redeemed us. He's bought us out of the slave market of sin. We were owned by Satan, and we followed him. And God the Father bought us back. 1 Peter 1:18 through 19 says, "For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from an empty life. The ransom he paid was not mere gold and silver. He paid for you with the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God." We had all gone our own way, every one of us lost and wandering, when Jesus found us and drew us and preached truth to us through someone. Our sinful hearts were regenerated as we trusted in His death on the cross for us. His blood, which does not potentially save the whole world, but actually saved completely us and every one of His elect forever. As a lamb slain before the foundation of the world, Revelation 13:8, that we might be made clean and righteous, Isaiah 53:11-12, and by the infinite power of His blood, it can save anyone and everyone who comes to Christ and repents and believes in Him, and there's forgiveness of sins. That's complete in Him. They not only have their sins forgiven, we've had the privilege to teach this glorious doctrine of justification, which means what? We not only have our sins forgiven, but what else do we have? We have positive righteousness that Jesus gave us, His complete goodness and righteousness. He attributed it to our account. What an amazing thing. I try to think of that, and it just is hard to make that sink in completely, that He gives us His righteousness, His perfect righteousness. By His grace, we're saved. At the moment we believe, we receive the one and the only Holy Spirit of God who baptizes us, each and every one, into one body, the church. And we're in this church universal throughout the world. But He brought each of us here, as members of Heartland, put us together to make up this local body. And this is our salvation, but Jesus' death for us is at work daily to grow us and change us. to make us conform to the image of Christ, to make us a little bit more like Jesus as we walk with him each day. I'm going to run over. Sorry. Not. Right. Calvin, believers are united together by Christ's blood to become one body. A unity of this kind called communion, that we all become one body because we are together partakers of the same bread. Communion between us. But from this, that we are united to Christ in such a way that we are flesh of his flesh and bone of his bones. Ephesians 5:30. For we must first trust Christ as our Savior, that we may be united to each other. Communion is the connection which we have with the blood of Christ when he engrafts all of us together into his body, that he may live in us and we in him. MacArthur says this, when believers participate, they're sharing in the blood of Christ and sharing in the body of Christ. It's communing with the Lord and with his people, celebrating our common salvation and eternal life. It's the ultimate fellowship of believers while we're on earth, and it reflects the perfect fellowship we have in heaven. There's a reality where we get to meet with Lyle again, right? In heaven, and Thomas, and Sis. When we properly shared in communion, we spiritually participate in fellowship with Jesus Christ and with believers. It is more than a symbol. It is a profound unity of common spiritual experience. You know, the picture of someone we love is not the same as that person. I have a picture. Oh, yeah. Here somewhere. Let's see. Do you recognize that guy? He can't be with us today, but this is a picture of Johnny, right? And a picture is a reminder, right? But it isn't quite the same as the person. It only represents the person, but the feeling of love, care, desire to be with them, or remembering experiences we've had with them. They're totally real. Fishing in Minnesota and spending time throwing the ball to them. We have an experience of real fellowship and kinship with that person whenever we see the picture. Our minds are flooded with reality. While we are thinking of them, our earthly loved ones are seldom aware of it, but our Lord is intensely aware of it when we think of him. And that's what we've done this morning, isn't it? We've remembered the Lord in his death for us, becoming sin for us, his taking our penalty upon himself, his redeeming of us, all of us which are represented by his shed blood. We participate in the most intimate and real communion with him and with all others that are in him, believers together. So we have this unity with God and our fellow believers. Ephesians 5:8 says, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light. Walk as children of light. Each of us carries light, and together we are, Jesus said it, right? You're the light of the world. And what's light meant to do? Do you put it under a basket? No. You do what with it? You lift it up and let it shine. Carry the light. And we were given a lampstand. As Heartland, we've had a lampstand. Churches are a lampstand. We've all come. But as we close the doors today, what will happen to that light? Will it be extinguished? No. Because we each carry light, right? From God, we're given light inside of us in our heart to shine for him. And we're going to carry that light to another body, and we're going to contribute to help them burn even brighter. As we go to a new body, our gifts, our abilities, each of us, whether we are fingers or big toe or eye or some other part will become an active part of another new body, new to us. People with whom we will share unity and purpose to carry the gospel to this community. We're never meant to fly solo, right? No man is meant to be an island, it's said, but he meant for us to be in community. I beg of all of you to become a part, a vital part of a local church that preaches the word of God, a true church which loves God and people. And that's asking the question, what would you want for everyone? I thought about this myself, and I would want for each of us to be in a place where we are growing in love for God, a more intense, stronger, better, truer relationship with God, each and every one of us. And through that, that we would love others well around us. Hopefully this will be for us. We've chosen the Lighthouse, but we know that not everyone may choose that, but we pray that it's a church that will magnify Jesus Christ as Jesus Christ and his Father. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for the privilege of being able to bring your word. This last 18 years, we thank you for each one that's here. We thank you that we've been able to experience life together, difficulty and suffering, joy, rejoicing, pulling along in the mundane minutes and days and hours together. We thank you, but it's all been for your grace, your glory, and we pray that you'd help us, that we would shine, that we would shine together for you. We thank you for this privilege and for your grace that comes through Jesus and his sacrifice. Amen.
As express some thank yous here to the Lord, we have a couple of thank yous that we want to express. So I think we need to particularly name some names here of folks who have sacrificed. So appreciate Karen making a lot of effort with the music. You know, music is often an area where there's difference of opinion. Do you believe that? And she has managed that well. Amen? Yeah. For Matt and Johnny and Nick and others who here have served us in the music ministry, thank you very much. We appreciate that. It takes our hearts. Singing to the Lord a new song. A new song. I want to thank you for that. Also, we have some sound people who have done a great deal for us, and more than sound, like audio and video. Can I tell you, folks, one of the things that has been a blessing to me is just the nature of our website and the communication that goes on with there and the manner of it. It has been great. So Nate and Thomas and Matt was in on that. And thank you. I know that you've rallied from time to time different people to do that. So thank you. Thank you very much. I want to thank Doug and Linda and Bob and Sandy, who are normally right there, but I've already told you about them. There they are, Bob and Sandy. So yeah. They have done various responsibilities. As a matter of fact, go and enjoy the fellowship hall, because it is by Deacon Ministry today that it looks the way it does. So we appreciate that and the work they've done. I'd like to thank this guy right here. I don't want this day to come. I don't want this day to end. But to everything there is a time. You know, I've been saying that a lot to myself, but to everything there is a time and a season for every purpose under heaven. Everyone. So, I want to thank you for being involved, for carrying this light into the world. And like Doc said, we just are taking it to a different place where there is need. And this is to advance the kingdom of God. It's to broaden community. It's to do what we have been trained to do. That is go make disciples. Yes. My wife, she is right here listed. Yes. Amen. So are we still up here?
And I just wanted to say one thing, and of course,
yep, he's got a couple of things.
How could we express words to say what our pastor means to us, all that he's been through with us in the dysfunctional nature of our own family, and through many others understand through the counseling ministry, and so we're thankful for his faithfulness to the Word of God. And I just, I want to say I love you. I love all of you from Karen and my family. We love you. We've been privileged to serve here. Thanks for your service and your love shown to us in so many ways. Thank you.
So we come to this. And I carry you in my heart. And that never ends. By the grace of God, we are a forever family. That's a great, great thing. Now, I commend you to God, to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. And to give you an inheritance among all of those who have been rescued, set apart to God, sanctified through Jesus Christ and him alone. I want you to join with me in this to him. Say this with me, beginning now. Now to him. Who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. 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 Heartland. Amen.